Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. Once again, live from myself, Billy Embody, and Ben Garrett, who's over there in the Riverland Roofing Studio.
The little house up top, Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. My friend Billy Landis and his group over there, nobody does it better. They're friends to Ole Miss, so be friends to them. 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. Hey, Bill.
How did you get a new chair? I see the house.
No, I didn't get a new chair. I put a pillow under my butt.
Now you're more comfortable and we can see the house.
Well, I feel a little out of place. I need the upper chair so we can have the little house. But I did kind of get used to and like having the house down here.
Having to pull it up.
Show to people's. But
yeah.
You know, how are we?
We are great, man. What a first day it was at spring ball on Tuesday. We had our live show from the Manning Center, and now we're right back at it. And this is a big start to the start of a big weekend. I mean, you've got Ole Miss starting practice in Milwaukee today. Jake Thompson's up there for us. The Rebels are back on the practice field on Thursday. Of course, we're not allowed in today, but that's okay because we got almost 45 minutes in on Tuesday, and then they'll be back at it on Saturday. Rebels play tomorrow in basketball, of course, and the women get going. So a lot of good things going on right now. And of course, recruiting, big recruiting weekend.
Yes, and the recruiting piece is huge, and you've got so much to tell the folks about here in a second, really, because a lot's going on. Visitors, highly ranked visitors, and it's going to be like that all spring. I will say, to start things off, on the first day of spring, I stood by Shakai Mills Knight, not realizing who he was, as I was shooting some running back coverage with my camera, and turn around or Chuck walks up. He's like, "Hey, that's Shakai Mills Knight, I think." And then he sure enough just turned around and was like, "You're Shakai, right?" Dude's he looks 6'4". I don't know if he's 6'4", but really big guy, well put together. Really wish he'd have been a mid-year enrollee, but can't wait to see him in the mix. The recruiting piece, though, Ole Miss is going after a lot of guys that were ranked within the same kind of space as Shakai Mills Knight, and they're visiting. They're visiting all during the spring, so a big part of that. But also basketball, it's historic because men and women are in the NCAA tournament in the same year for the first time ever, and then baseball's lost three straight, so whatever. But for football and the recruiting piece, this is the best time of the off season, in my opinion, because so much is happening, so much action, both on and off, and enjoy it while you can because it's not going to last too much longer. And then but fortunately for us and what we do, the April portal opens. And then, Bill, we're going to be even busier, my friend.
Yes. And look, I had a lot of good conversations, you know, being able to get into the Manning Center and you get to, you know, talk with people in person. It's like Fort Knox over there at some point. So it's nice to get some face-to-face time. And look, we've got a lot to get to on the recruiting piece. And again, Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, $1 for your first week, sign up. We had a lot of reaction from those visitors that were on campus on Tuesday. But of course, big recruiting weekend coming up. But Ben, I don't want to lead off with bad news, but let's get it out of the way and talk about the number one player in the state of Mississippi making a surprise commitment on Wednesday. And that is Tristan Keyes, the five-star wide receiver who's out of Hattiesburg. Of course, you know, that's South Mississippi. This is not necessarily an area that is, you know, diehard Ole Miss and things like that. But the surprising piece was that he committed to LSU on Wednesday. And the Tigers made a really nice impression when he was there on his visit. And a lot of people had this one pegged as Tennessee and Alabama and those type of schools kind of setting the pace for him. And instead, he drops a commitment on Wednesday. I think it was like midday. I mean, it was just out of nowhere. And this is going to be really interesting to watch how this one unfolds, because obviously he's highly touted. Obviously he's, you know, in state for Ole Miss, and they would love to, you know, continue to have a chance to get him. And the next kind of few weeks are going to really determine, I think, maybe how to read the room on that recruitment for a lot of schools. Because whenever you make a commitment, there's usually like this cooling off period for all the sides, where especially this early, kids will kind of actually shut it down for a minute, maybe take a little bit of a break, and coaches will be like, all right, we're going to let him have his space and committed. And we don't want to make it seem like we're over the top with you. But they're now going to have to navigate this as a flip target, which is interesting because, of course, last year Ole Miss flipped Caleb Cunningham from Alabama. And the funny thing about this is Tristan Keyes was expected at Ole Miss this weekend. So that was something that we were kind of hanging on to going into this weekend, because he hadn't been back this year. He hadn't made his way over there. And so I kind of heard about that on Tuesday and was like, okay, all right, I'm going to sit on this piece of information for, you know, the next few days, see if he actually shows up in Oxford, and he commits on Wednesday. So really just an interesting surprise commitment there by the number one player in the state of Mississippi, a top 10 prospect, number one wide receiver in the country. And look, this time last year, LSU had the number one receiver in the country committed in DeCorey Moore, and he ended up signing with Oregon, which, you know, a lot of Texas people would have liked to have back. So this one, I think, is, I'm not saying that he's for sure going to flip or flip to Ole Miss or flip elsewhere, because, you know, LSU's got a good little run of receivers, but you know, this is a recruitment that now Ole Miss is going to have to, they at least know where the starting blocks are now. I feel like they can say, okay, we've got however many months to flip you, and going to have to overcome. I think he committed to LSU the day of or the day after Jamar Chase signed the big ticket deal. So, you know, probably a lot of, you know, LSU, you know, just positivity kind of rolling in, and he ends up committing after that visit. So this will be a really, really key recruitment as far as how the class's ceiling ends up. You know, if you get a Tristan Keyes, all of a sudden you're, you know, that much higher in the rankings, and you're, you know, you really could probably push for a top 15 type of class, the way the class is looking, at least, and as far as the top targets they're in on. But, you know, that's kind of my early take. It is middle of March. It is,
that's right,
you know, 9 months away from National Signing Day, and or the early signing period, which is when I'm sure Tristan will probably sign. But, you know, Mississippi recruiting never fails to deliver a random five-star committee on a Wednesday around lunch.
Exactly right. And a couple of things, a handful of things. One, Ole Miss has been here before. You touched on how I was going to go about it. You know, Caleb Cunningham committed to three different schools before he ended up signing with Ole Miss. This is now part of the process in 2025. It was always a part of it to an extent, you know, the whole flip game and Mary Flipmas and all this kind of stuff. But really right now, even the commitments Ole Miss gets, none of it really is cemented until late into the fall, right? Yeah. Once you get into October, November, guys that have been in that class for months, that's different. I don't expect Tristan Keyes to have shut down his recruitment now because he's committed to LSU, is what I'm saying. This is part of that process. It's leverage for them. It is. I mean, going to his next visit, if it's Ole Miss this weekend, like you said,
Yeah, if he shows up, you know, that's where it's going to be really interesting.
The leverage he has now, saying, well, this is what I've got, because it is a very matter-of-fact discussion now with these top-ranked guys. It's like, what can you offer me? And Ole Miss is going to meet whatever they think. They love Tristan Keyes. I mean, they're going to meet his number best they can if it makes sense. And or they're going to say, well, just like with Deuce Knight, go to the SEC rival. We'll get you in the portal next year. You know, there's stuff that goes into this decision making, goes into this, that just wasn't like it was in the old days. So that's one of the first things. This is very early. Yeah, you'd ideally want him to have committed to Ole Miss, but I would be saying the same things if he had committed to Ole Miss. He didn't even include Ole Miss in his Final Four. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't generally viewed as like, I mean,
no,
I went back and looked, like, Caleb Cunningham was at least talking about Ole Miss at this
point. He's not.
Yeah. He's not really doing that.
He's not doing that. And that's where it tells me they've got a little bit more work to do. Cause you're absolutely right. It's a really important point. Mississippi has always been like this in the coast. Man, you get to Biloxi and the Matt Luke territory, you know, some rebels down there, but Hattiesburg, that's LSU country. That's Southern Mississippi. That's how it's always been. Now Ole Miss has had success in Hattiesburg. AJ and Anthony Maddox both are obvious examples of that, but like, even they took some time. I mean, AJ Maddox was committed to Texas A&M for a while. You know, there's a lot about recruiting that has changed. One thing that you don't need to get too caught up in is when a kid commits. Like if a kid commits early, you know, at the end of the day, who are your targets come late October and November? You want to see if you've got momentum going, and that's what a lot of recruiting is. So this is not good for the momentum piece, but especially since he didn't even bring him up. Now they know what the work they got to do. The number two thing, you brought up Jamar Chase signing the highest contract of any, which is great. Ole Miss has two players in the top five of wide receiver contracts in the history of the NFL with DK and AJ Brown. So
100%.
Ole Miss is going to hit that hard. And then the third piece of that, does he show this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Does he show?
I'm going to just laugh if he does. I'm just going to laugh.
But you know, that would be the most on brand in 2025 recruiting thing, that development to happen if he does show on Saturday.
Exactly.
I fully expect him to. Like, for me, it'll be if he's been telling Ole Miss he's coming. I fully expect him to, because commitments don't mean jack turkey. They don't mean anything.
I mean, Jerelyn McCoy, when he committed to LSU, was back at Ole Miss like 2 weeks later.
Yes.
And then I don't even know if he ended up visiting LSU in that little period of January. But then he definitely was at State. And then he came back to Ole Miss, decommitted, was going to flip, and then didn't. And now he's, you know, continuing.
He's everywhere. He's all over. With Billy Napier in Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was just at Florida.
They're going to enjoy this process. This is a once-in-a-lifetime process. And this is one of the few times over the next couple of years where they have real leverage to kind of set themselves up. I'm not saying it's totally a leverage play for Tristan Keyes, but commitments now, especially early commitments, need to be taken for what they're worth, which is nothing.
Yeah.
You need to understand that if anything, they're simply another piece of leverage to take to those other teams that really want you to see what they can do. Because – yeah, I'm sure he's excited. I mean, coming off an official, everybody has a good official visit. That used to be the joke in the old days. You never heard anybody come off an official visit and go, you know what, that kind of sucked. That place was kind of crappy. That didn't happen. You know, it was so silly to write those stories when we go stand up there at the Manning Center and pick your prospect is leaving, right? Zay Harris is leaving. He's like, man, what an amazing visit. I had so-and-so hosted me. I did this. It was amazing. Of course, official visits are amazing. Yeah. That's what they're designed
for. You walk into the hotel room and there's cookies all over the bed. Like, of course.
Now they're rolling out a red carpet in a way for guys like Tristan Keyes that you've never seen before. It's like they don't even have to compete at camps.
Yeah.
They don't. They arrive. They've got a special golf cart waiting for them, right? Yeah. First, they got a special driver. If they flew in, they got a special driver, right, from the airport.
The Mercedes Sprinter.
So – it's a much different world in that way. That's why I say it's too early to panic. The one thing that causes, like, shot the antennas up for me, though, he hasn't been talking about Ole Miss like Caleb was.
Yep.
And I know how bad Ole Miss wants Tristan Keyes and how they've been going after him really, really hard, right? And to not get even some lip service Yeah. That's the part for me that's like, man, they got a little bit more work to do. So a couple of things with this. I know Ole Miss fans this morning are probably like, dead gone.
Yeah, that's 10 minutes, boys. Shut up.
Yeah, but I remind you that, again, it's Mississippi recruiting. As Billy said to start, it is Mississippi recruiting. This is a guy who's not from this state originally. He's here now covering Ole Miss with us. I mean, and he knows, but he's been covering recruiting for so long. He knows this state has a reputation of.
It does.
I mean, it's crazy.
Guys get kidnapped left and right back in the old days and just shut away and then just show up without their family at their signing ceremony and just sign. Yeah.
It's a it's fun in that way, but it's also, if you're an Ole Miss person and if you're watching this, you are, days like this happen.
Yeah, the blood
Cunningham, like, yeah, Caleb Cunningham committed to Alabama. Like, Aiden Williams entered. My favorite ones were like when Dante Moncrief went to Oklahoma State. Right, late in process because he just wanted somebody to pay attention to him again.
Tyler Lockhart last cycle. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in Mississippi recruiting, that was unbelievable, I feel like.
I don't blame these kids for having a blast with it. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I would do the exact same. However, if you're a fan, it can become, especially when the result is like it was yesterday and he ends up at LSU, it can be a what the heck's going on. And we're here to tell you there's a long way to go. Now, this is not the place you want to be.
Yeah.
This isn't the place you want to be. Obviously, you want to be out in front every single development in his recruitment. But it is March. It is March, and the first signing day is not until December.
Side is Ole Miss has, you know, gotten a flip target on campus on Tuesday.
There you go.
I mean, this is the double-edged sword of recruiting, and they're on the other side of the ball, but you know, two Georgia prospects that came in. One, Jordan Carter, committed to Texas A&M, has been committed since October. Big edge prospect out of Douglas County. I mean, just has offers from all over the place. Randall Joyner putting it on him, trying to get him to lock in an official visit, and we'll see if that happens. You know, still trying to catch up. Sometimes these defensive linemen are not as willing to chat as the skill guys are and the quarterbacks, but
especially wide receivers, Bill.
Yeah, especially wide receivers. But they also had Deuce Gerald's back on campus, and he was there. We saw his pops, you know, right when we walked in, and we're going up to, you know, hang out outside and watch practice. I mean, this is a must get for Randall Joyner, getting a legacy back on campus, you know, for that Tuesday practice. So they're continuing to do all the things they need to do to try and build a top 25 class to keep that momentum going on the high school side of things. And that's what's exciting if you're an Ole Miss fan. You know, last year's class, a really good class, the best under Lane Kiffin, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to exceed that type of a class this cycle.
I will say, too, standing beside my guy, Davern Gerald, you were there. You saw it at practice. Like, I walked up.
You look like you play.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. I went D, dead gum, man. Like, you can still line up. God rest Jevin Snead's soul, man, because we lost him years ago now. But I'll never forget that cover with Davern and Jevin when they were ranked number 4 in the South Carolina year when they went and lost Eric Norwood and them. To see Davern all these years later, and he looks the part, and his son is built like a brick shithouse. Forgive me, God, for saying a bad word again, but, like, he's built like a brick, you know.
His son kind of looks, like, older than him.
He does. Because I asked him when he.
I think that's a really good compliment.
Yeah, it's a great compliment. Because, like, when they came to visit, they're walking up, and I'm like, "Dang, man, D, you could still be playing." He's like, "Yeah, but look at him." And I went, "Can you do the dad thing where you can take care of him if you need to?" And he's like, "I don't know anymore. I don't know." And Deuce is such a big piece for what you're talking about building out this class, and I think they're going to get him. I really do. I think they're going to do everything that's necessary and make sure that they keep a legacy. And it's not just because he's a legacy. It's because of how good of a prospect he is. But he was in town.
He's in Ohio State, you know, pushing hard for him.
Yeah, but he shows up all the time at Ole Miss. I think, obviously, with the connection there with Davern, there's something that's going to keep them attached the whole process, even if it gets crazy, which it could, because of all the options that Deuce has. But it just where – it goes against you with the Tristan Keys early. Yeah. Things are turning well for guys like that. The quarterback or quarterbacks that they're going after, there's a lot of positive developments. The question is when are these guys going to pop, right? Yep. Because you're looking at the rankings of top 25 and on three, Ole Miss ain't there. You look at their commitment list, it's just like it's barren.
But I think
a lot of what this is what Ole Miss does now, they don't care about the timing necessarily. They're not trying to build momentum early. It's nonsense because they've done that before and it's done nothing for them. For them, it's basically just, you know, put your best product out there, lay it all out on the field. It'll pop when it pops, and Ole Miss trusts its process. And you can't really argue it. Now, it's not going to be a top 10, 15, but paired with the transfer piece of this, which is always top three. Each of the last 3-4 years have always been in the top three nationally in transfer classes. You mix in the top 20 class, this is going to be, again, another haul that Lane Kiffin can rely on for guys to come in and impact winning immediately. So it's an unfortunate development. Surprised the hell out of me. I was like, wait, Tristan Keys? Tristan Keys? Like right now?
I just recorded something with Josh Newberg on it. On our national On Three Recruits YouTube channel. And Josh said, you know, Tennessee seemed like the trendy pick here. And then like 4 hours later, it was him popping for LSU. So, I mean, that just kind of sums it up. And I mean, LSU fans, they should be excited. It's always nice to play ahead than, you know, have to try to make the dramatic comeback. But
it's the March. Third inning at best. March.
Yeah,
it's the third inning of this process. If it's a non-inning baseball game, Ole Miss, if it's playing LSU and all its competitors, Ole Miss versus the competitors, Ole Miss is down 3-0 right now, you know? Is 3-0, like, impossible to overcome in baseball over the next six innings? Of course it's not, right? And I expect Ole Miss to battle to the end. And just like with Caleb Cunningham when they had to come from behind to secure his signature, I fully expect them to go harder after Tristan Keys. I wonder if Lane Kiffin and his personal recruitment, like he does this every year where he goes after individual guys in a lot of ways by himself. He'll say, you know, he'll take the lead in that. I bet you Tristan Keys becomes one of those players. He really wants Tristan Keys, what I've heard. And how could you not? I mean, obviously with the rankings and stuff like that. But it's from Ole Miss, it's also about developing reputationally the best in Mississippi stay at Ole Miss. It's always been sharing with State, sharing with LSU, sharing with Alabama, sharing with Georgia, sharing with Tennessee, right? Oregon would always come in here and randomly pick off guys.
Yep.
But what Ole Miss has done, while they haven't gotten the numbers as far as the amount of guys, you'd like to see them sweep the state, right? They haven't done that, but they've secured the top-ranked guys. They've gotten the number one guy in the state. So Cam, the last 2 years, Caleb Cunningham, Cam Franklin, both the top-ranked guys in the state. William Eccles, according to some services, all on campus here. This don't expect Ole Miss to just go, oh, well, darn. You know, Tristan's done gone committed to LSU. Let's go
over.
No, that for them, they're like, yeah, okay, neat. Let's just hotbox it and let Lane do his thing, and we'll see you in November. I fully believe Ole Miss will be more of a factor for Tristan Keys in the fall than they are today. That's what I believe. Because if Austin Simmons, again, all of this comes back to the Austin Simmons part. If Austin Simmons is good as they think he is, on the field, off the field, the ramifications of that will be significant, including the recruitment of the number one wide receiver in the country, right? If Austin Simmons is the second coming of Tua and, you know, Nuss is not really doing his thing at LSU, that will play a part if all the other pieces are equal, which is, how much money are you meeting my number? Are you know what I'm saying? Like, in all of these schools for guys like that, of course they're going to meet your number. They're going to get you to a place. And so it'll fall back to in the fall, more traditional recruiting stuff. Like, where do you feel most at home? Where do you feel connection? Cause Caleb Cunningham, it really became more old school recruiting toward the end of his process. Of course he got his money. Of course he got all the ask that he asked for settled with the top schools. Ole Miss will do the same. We'll know what the ask are. We'll get him in. But the biggest, you know, part of it for me now is looking forward. Will he be in town as he was supposed to be this weekend? If he is, game on. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
If he's not, you're like, oh, still you got some, you know, you do got some ground to make up.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the great thing for Ole Miss as well is Mississippi's absolutely loaded this cycle at receiver. I mean, it's pretty wild. You know, they had Caden Smith, a kid from Alabama, on campus this past Tuesday, and he named them his leader. But you know, he has power conference offers. He has, you know, recruitment and a, you know, play style that is really impressive, but he's not from Mississippi, and who knows, mm-hmm. maybe they load up in this cycle and get the rest of them too from Mississippi. So it'll be something that'll be really interesting to watch. Let's touch on a couple things on spring ball, because I feel like, you know, folks, and this is a good question from Ben Hull in the chat before we do, but would you rather have Jace Matthews or Tristan Keys?
Oh,
this is really hard, because Jace, like Tristan Keys is super competitive. Like he flew, I believe, from like the Polynesian Bowl, competed out there after competing at Under Armour, and then flew like 20 hours across the country just to play the Sunday 7-on-7 with his team. And I love that type of a competitor. Like that's, I mean, you're tired, you're gassed, you're flying across the country. It's nice somebody else is paying for it, but I love that competitor. And Tristan Keys also has a ton of skills. Jace Matthews is a dude. I mean, I don't know if there's a rather have answer there. I mean, you really can't go wrong. Like even if Jace is ranked like a few spots below Tristan, it's not like, oh man, like if Ole Miss gets him, oh man, they got Jace and let Tristan leave. Like, no, I mean, Jace is awesome.
Does he remind you of anybody?
Jace reminds me of one of our recruiting analysts, Cody Belair, had the comp of Brandon Ayuk, and he's salty. He's nice. So I like
that. Cody's good at those comps, man.
He's a lot better than me.
I love that. Brandon Ayuk. So if Tristan Keys is Justin Jefferson, do you want Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk? My answer to first of all would be, why not both?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, Cowboys.
why not both? Yeah. But if you're asking me to pick, Tristan Keys has been my guy for about 2 years now. I love that kid. I think he's legit. I haven't seen a lot of Jay, so Billy can speak more to it. But if he's getting Brandon Ayuk comps, of course you're not going to cry into your cereal if you lose Tristan and get Jace. You know, I don't think it's an either or. And also, it needs to be said, wide receivers in a really good place for Ole Miss. Yes, they went and transfer heavy, but look how many years a lot of these transfers have, right? Like Caleb Odom is not a one-year guy. He's not. He's a multi-year guy. And, you know, they got to replace a Caden Lee, but then, you know, Winston Watkins, watching him on Tuesday, I'm like, oh, there's your slot, you know, and there's – a lot about what Ole Miss has done already that alleviates the pressure to, you know, address, well, you got to have this cycle. They want the very best players. For me, the reason I would pick Tristan is only because Ole Miss has made it a point, because they think it's important to get the top player in Mississippi every single year. I don't know how important it is. Hard for me to say, but Ole Miss wants the top player every year because they believe it matters long-term and as far as the perception of your program. And right now, the top player in the state for 2026 is committed to LSU. So they want both of them. But as far as optically and what they're building, Tristan Keys is as must-get for them as must-get. So they understand now, having not been included, not even really talked about in his process, you got a long ways to make up. Of course, you don't sacrifice the recruitment of a guy like Jace just to go balls to the wall for, Tristan Keys. But they want both of them, and both of them have, you know, different skill sets. I like them both, but they're not going to give up on Tristan Keys, man. I think, if anything, this is clarifying. You know exactly where you got to go now, right? Yep. You're playing from behind, and that's okay. You've done it before, and Ole Miss has shown time and again, it doesn't care where it starts or where the game gets to. It's never out of it. And why question that now? So good question, though. That's a good one. If you have any questions, we want to hear from all of you all the time. On the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Field of On 3, sign up for $1, or in those YouTube comments. I don't care where it is. I want to hear from Ole Miss fans, okay? I'm just a big, dumb, redheaded idiot who runs his mouth about Ole Miss all day, every day. I want to hear what y'all want to know. You know, I can talk about anything forever. If y'all want to talk about Daredevil, Born Again, I'm there. Whatever it might be, drop some comments. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, or those YouTube. That's great. I love that one. That question.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
If we're talking about something forever, Ben, if we ever get a ride on Status Jet together, we'll be talking about that forever on this podcast. And that's why we need an Ole Miss fan or whatever to hook us up with a ride on Status Jet, which give them a call. Go to statusjet.com for more information on their private jet charter opportunities. No membership is required. You can do the one-off, and you can get the discount code on a round trip flight, which is mentioning us, the Ole Miss Spirit, to them when you book. They'll give you a discount on your round trip and ask us to join you. We'll be a good time. We'll do the pod live from the plane and have a good time headed to wherever Ole Miss is going in March Madness or
Milwaukee
baseball or
take
wherever.
Me to Milwaukee.
There's
take me to Milwaukee.
If you called Status Jet today, they could probably get you a plane to get up to Milwaukee and fly you there on the day of. So
it's torturing my soul not to be in Milwaukee. I was there when Ole Miss played in the play-in game, fell behind by 20, Stephen Moody and company in 2015, battled back, and we all had to book flights to Jacksonville, drove through the night, Nashville Airport from Dayton, Ohio, to jump on a plane at 5:30 in the morning to fly to Jacksonville. I love the NCAA tournament. I love how nuts it is. I love how it's impossible to travel, but these days, Spirit don't cover expenses like you used to. So, Jake, have a great time, but just know it is killing me inside. I've like, there's no question. I always would go to these things if they make it to Atlanta next week. Or, yeah, is it next week or week
yep.
after? Week,
yep.
Yeah, next week, I will fridge and be there. I've got friends in Atlanta. They'll let me stay in my truck in their driveway if I need to. And by golly, it's a 4-hour drive. If they make it to the Sweet 16 and match the greatest single-season all-time performance or accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history, a solitary Sweet 16 performance, dead gummit, I will be there because it's killing me. It's killing me tonight. I've never seen Milwaukee either. All I've heard is good things. And I'm sitting here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, thankful to Billy and them, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. But it's just not the same. I would rather have created like a you know, mobile Riverland Roofing Studios to walk all of Chris Beard and company into, maybe for the Sweet 16, maybe if somebody wants to, like Billy, hey, holler at Stash Chet, hook us up, you know, because it's killing me, Bill. It's killing me to not be there. It's eating me up, man, but also I'm a grown-ass man. I'm an adult now, and I got to make smart decisions for not just myself. Selfishly, I was like, oh, yeah, I got it. Let's go. No. You have a wife and children, but Ole Miss fan, if you can go, man, Milwaukee, it'll be a blast. But if not, I'll see you in Atlanta. I'm going, Bill. Might have to get up like a Spirit ride-along, you know?
Yes.
We got like, let's all load up on a bus together. Oh, man, if you can deal with me running my mouth as much as I do, we could have us a good old time. Also, bring your own libations, and whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? Might have to do a Spirit ride-along. I don't know. But killing me to be sitting here right now on this Thursday with Ole Miss tipping off tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. The third all-time showdown with North Carolina, the bluest blood, the blue bloods. Man, it's eating at my Ole Miss insides, Bill. It's killing me.
Hey, Ole Miss wins if Sean Padula has at least how many points? This is from Ben Hull in the chat. Oh, so appreciate Ben for chiming in again.
Look, it's less about who leads Ole Miss in scoring than how many score in double figures. Because if Ole Miss has five or more in double figures, that's by design. It doesn't matter if Sean Padula's got 17 to lead them all. If he has to go like to 29 points, that's against the script. That's right. Not what they want. They want the balanced scoring. They want to see Dre Davis, Matthew Morrell, Malik Diaz, Sean Padula, one of Juju, Jamin Brakefield coming off the bench is, in my opinion, the best six man in the SEC this year, the strongest conference in the history of basketball. Jamin deserves that six-man recognition. I don't know if he's going to get it, but the point is if you can get five double-digit scores, you've seen that over the course of the season. That is by design. That is when you know Ole Miss is playing or being us, as Chris Beard has implored them to be in the postseason. It's less about the other team and how many points. Be us, which includes multiple double-digit scores, a defense that is among the very best in college basketball when they're playing to their potential and can travel anywhere they go and can play against anyone. I mean, the Auburn game in the SEC tournament is a good example of that. Now, unfortunately, you still lost, but that's because Ole Miss does have a struggle sometimes with shooting percentages, does have a trouble sometimes with transition defense getting back. But that assisted turnover is the very best in the country, Bill, right? Like, they don't turn the ball over when they're playing their brand of basketball, which also includes multiple double-digit scores. Sean Padula needs to be a part of that because he's the point guard. He's the lead guard. He needs to be one of those five. I would argue, though, it's far more important that he doesn't turn the ball over. It 100%. Is because, they lost games just because they had five turnovers, which are like, oh, five turnovers isn't so bad, but if it's coming from the point guard position, Ole Miss can't survive that. That's why, you know, Chris Beard on Jim Rome yesterday is talking about, you know, some teams can play a B+ game and maybe get through the first two weekends or the first two games in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. We can't do that. That's what he's speaking about. Like, they don't have a lottery pick that they can lean on if they turn the ball over five times with their lead guard, who's also their leading scorer. They need to protect the ball, play that sit-down traveling defense and that switchable defense that has gotten them to this point, play it to their best of their ability, and have multiple double-digit scores. However the offense shows up, as long as it's balanced, Ole Miss has got a chance. Ole Miss has got a real chance with that defense to make a run. Because I love what Chris Beard, how he classified it. And I'm curious what you'll think about this. He told Jim Rome, he's like, look, Jim Rome goes, how many of the SEC teams, 14 of 16 teams got it? How many of them have a realistic shot of winning it all? He said four or five, and he named the four that you know, Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, I think was the other one, and Florida. Florida's playing the best basketball of anybody right now. But then Ole Miss is among that next tier. Is it probable that they win six games in 3 weekends and are national champions? No, but was it probable for 2019 Texas Tech? Of course it wasn't. They got to the title game with Chris Beard, who's now led Ole Miss as the fourth separate program he's led to the NCAA tournament. It's not probable. Is it possible? Of course it is. But what has to happen is with their margin of error, which is so small, they have to hit their benchmarks, which includes, like I said, five, and I mean it, five double-digit scores. Because if it's Sean Padula putting up 29 And then Matt's only got 9, and Jamin's struggling from the field. Juju, they're not going to win. Even if it's a North Carolina team that most says shouldn't belong in the tournament field, which I still contend they shouldn't. They're 1-12 against quad one teams. Got a quad two win over San Diego State. I think that says more about San Diego State shouldn't have gotten in over even Indiana, West Virginia. Pick your teams, right? But North Carolina went and dominated. It has made this game even more interesting than it already was. And now, you know, North Carolina's got something to prove. You're going to get their very best shot. So be yourself, be us, as Chris Beard has said. And it doesn't matter if they give you their best shot, you're going to be in that game with a chance to win in advance. So that's what I'm looking for this weekend. Sean Padula, of course, has to be good. But that balanced scoring and not turning the ball over, because, man, if Ole Miss's assisted turnover is out of whack, that bill is where they really, really get into trouble. You know, I mean, that's where that you've seen them get into trouble. I'm excited. I'm excited about this weekend. 3:05 tip approximately on TNT. Blue blood team. I just wish I had a transporter, man. I wish I had like one of those Star Trek transporters, man, where they just like, you know, beam me up and beam me to Milwaukee. Oh, God, it'd be so great. But I am thankful that I have a wonderful television, the Riverland Roofing Studios, and my guy Billy Landis, and I will be in Atlanta. So it's exciting times. Again, the first time ever women and men both in the NCAA tournament in the same year. The women got screwed. The women deserve to host. They got absolutely screwed. They it just shows me that Ole Miss still has to fight certain stigmas, because if you look at the boxes that were checked for hosting, Coach Joe is absolutely right to go, I'm surprised. I would have said I'm disgusted. I mean, for me, the criteria is what it is, like with getting in and also hosting. And so when you get a team that goes against that, who deserves something and doesn't get it, it doesn't matter if it's left out or if it's not hosting, all of it's a problem. Leave it to the computers. Get the people out of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just
100%.
Give me some data analyst nerds with spreadsheets, right? That say, here's your 64 teams. Now, if you want to seed them, cool. But the athletics director for North Carolina being the selection chair and North Carolina getting in over West Virginia, getting in over Indiana, as John Rothstein, I love this guy to death, said, the greatest miscarriage of justice, UNC getting in. It just reeks of corporate greed and bureaucracy, and that's not what anybody wants for the greatest postseason there is. Same thing with Ole Miss women's basketball earning a host opportunity and not getting it. It sucks for the city of Oxford, for the money that would have been brought in, the missed opportunity there. It's a bummer. But, again, exciting times, because both spring football is here, the basketball teams are in the tournament. This is the ideal March. It's a special time. Now, if baseball could get off the schneid, that'd be nice.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about baseball. We're going to leave people with some positivity on this Thursday as Ole Miss does continue on its practice. No visitors of note on the recruiting side of things today, but stay tuned to Ole Miss Spirit, OhmSpirit.com for just $1 for your first week. You'll get covered as a huge recruiting weekend is shaping up. We'll have more information on the site on that. But let's get back to the field. And they do have their second spring ball practice today. And this is going to be, I think, a good opportunity for us now that we've had almost two full days to kind of digest. Let's hit on a couple of guys that really just eye test wise stood out to me and to you if you've got a couple. And I want to start with one that is, I think, poised for an All-American type season, and that's William Echols.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, the buzz is palpable. This is March. John Rothstein, the buzz is palpable. The buzz is palpable about William Echols. I mean, he looks like an absolute beast of a human out there. I think going into this season, this is going to be a chance for him to really cement himself as, you know, a player who ends up being a high draft pick. You know, only his second season on campus, but when you look at his size, when you look at his strength and just how good he is at the point of attack, Randall Joyner's got a stud here out of Houston, Mississippi. And this is going to be a really, really good player. I think he's going to be an All-American this season.
He was a midseason freshman All-American. Yep. So it's not outside of the realm. If anything, it would be exactly the career track Ole Miss expects him to follow in order to win or meet the high end of the expectation for next year. If it's 8.5, the over-under as far as wins, according to BetMGM, Ole Miss wins 9 or 10. William Echols is a huge part of that. That's a great first pick. I'm going to stay on the defensive line. If we're just talking look test.
Yeah, exactly. Just look test.
Cam Franklin looks like a million bucks now.
Yeah, he did.
He was a little thin coming in, and I said that to Jared Ivy when we were doing the Ivy League here on Talk of Champions, the network. And he was like, look, I was skinny. I was nowhere near as built as he was. Like, I tried to call him skinny, and he was like, he ain't skinny, and he's not. And not only is he not skinny, he's added real good weight. I mean, he looks like a next-level player. He looks like Jared did last year, right? Now, I'm not going to say he's going to play to that level. It would be ridiculous to say that. Jared's one of five guys that are ranked in the top 75 of Pro Football Focus's top 75 prospects for the NFL draft. That's five. And Jared is one of them. I'm not saying that Cam Franklin next year for Ole Miss is going to play like a top 1-2 round talent in the NFL draft. What I am saying is he's got the look. Yeah. And I remember going to Lake Cormorant, his high school, and watched him and going, man, he looks like a million bucks, but he plays so high.
Yeah.
All of those things about his game, the questions that you had have been ironed out, and you understand why Pete Golding was so bullish on him. I mean, he personally recruited him out of high school, believed that he could be Cam Franklin is on schedule as far as his development. Now it's just about producing. Like, everything else has gone exactly as Ole Miss intended. He was intended to come in and sit behind Jared and learn and get bigger and faster and stronger and all those things. He's bigger. I don't know how much faster, but he looks like Jared did, like Princely. Prince Will, as far as the look test, was smaller than I expected. I will say
a little thinner.
Thinner than I expected. Deshaun Womack, I mean, he crushed the look test.
Yeah.
But the thing is Cam Franklin, for me, I'm more intrigued by him than even Deshaun Womack, because Deshaun, he's like, prove that you can do it. You know what I mean? You've had your run and you hadn't done nothing yet. Prove that you can do it. Be that guy. Cam's is totally different. Is what he is on the precipice potentially of being. And I think, just like you mentioned, William Echols is an All-American. I'm not saying All-American in year two. I'm not saying he's going to be a first rounder by the end of the year. I'm saying he's passing the look test for the opening days of spring football, which, for a new starter, when they're replacing all four of their starters up front, all five of their starters in the secondary, you know, looks good. Looks really, really good. Looks the part for sure.
You know, I was looking at the linebackers, and I thought Jarkobe Hobson looked like
my guy.
I mean, I know your guy. I don't know if I stole him or not, but
love that,
you know, and look, a lot of these guys are on the defensive side, but we will get to some offensive guys for sure. But man, he just looked like he's been on campus like 3 years now. I mean, and that's an interesting linebacker room. You and I talked about it from the Manning Center on Tuesday, where, you know, you've brought in three new faces: Jaden Yates, Andrew Jones, Taj Chambers, and you're hoping to kind of recreate, along with the returners, the production, the value that a Chris Poupal brought to the table. Well, man, I think you've got to at least somewhat talk about Jarkobe Hobson in there, because just from a look test, if he figures it out, and this is the positive of being an early enrollee, if he figures it out, I mean, Pete Golding's not afraid to play freshmen. He played a bunch of freshmen at Alabama.
And they get a little bit more run than offensive players under Lane. You know, if you get in and get an opportunity,
it's totally Pete's deal.
Yeah. If you get in and you produce, you know, great. Lane will rely on you. You got the trust for a long time. You got a long leash. But if you get in there and you don't do what he thought you were going to do, man, it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back in those good graces. Not to say they're in the doghouse, but it's just like, he makes quick evaluations. In this day and age, you have to make those hard, quick evaluations. Pete isn't like that. Pete gives more leeway to younger players. So I fully expect Jarkobe, if like you said, he figures it out or gets settled a little bit here in spring football as a mid-year enrollee. That's what's so important. While Shakai Mills-Knight is off to the side watching, Jarkobe Hobson is in there with the linebackers. And he's got positional versatility to where, if he's not a starting linebacker, yeah, but he's one of the best four we got at the second level. He could play that jack, that hybrid linebacker safety position, and be a four-year starter. Remember, Trey Washington was a four-year starter. You telling me Jarkobe Hobson couldn't be the next Trey Washington? I 100% believe he could be. But he's a little thicker, more of an experiment right now at linebackers. He grows into his body. But then it's just a pure linebacker. If he figures it out, he looks like Harold Perkins. I mean, he's got that rushing ability, that kind of freakish athleticism. As long as you play him more as a pass rusher, more as a just an explosive attack linebacker than sitting back there and covering, because I don't think that's going to be ideally where he wants to be. But Jarkobi looks great. I'm going to flip to offense only because we've talked about defense the whole time, and I can talk about other defensive players that look really good. So now I'm going to go to offense. Offense for me, Caleb Odom looks like $1 million. I have no idea, Bill, if Caleb Odom is going to produce next year for Ole Miss. The reputation or what has followed him to Ole Miss from the Alabama side, and it's not just the fans being fans. It's also like his assistant coach, his wide receiver coach at Alabama, throwing a little bit of shade, didn't mention him by name, but it was obvious he was talking about a little bit of a diva, more popcorn muscles, you know, looks like $1 million, but he, you know, when the lights come on, he shrinks. Well, we're not talking about that. We're going to have to wait and see about that part, especially when someone starts scrimmaging, maybe as early as Saturday. But as far as how he looks, man, he's a Trey Harris clone. Yep. Physically, is he going to be Trey Harris? I mean, like Chris Beard said about Ole Miss winning the NCAA tournament, is it probable? No. Is it possible? Sure. You got to meet the look test first, and he has all the physical attributes, and he's going to play strictly as Trey did. That X, which is reserved in wide receiver nomenclature for your best deep ball threat. He's got that look about him. I don't think he's got as wide or as diverse a route tree as even Winston Watkins coming in, who also, to me, looked like $1 million. So those are two that jumped off the page for me. I'll be eager to see him again, both today and Saturday and moving on. But if we're talking about the look test, I would go Winston Watkins was my number one offensive performer from day one of spring football. I just couldn't take my eyes off the kid. I thought he just looked great. And I fully expect him. I mean, if he keeps stacking days like he did on Tuesday, which is hard to do, that's the freshman wall. You know, can you do that? Can you develop that consistency? No doubt in my mind he's going to play. Caleb, I have no idea what the role is.
Yeah, exactly.
Go be the deep ball threat. Be the X. Can you be that Trey Harris, even if it's Dollar General brand Trey Harris for a year? On as far as passing the look test, yeah, he looks like everything you would want him to look and he needs to be looking like that. He needs to, buddy, you got paid pretty good now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
All those diva rumors or whatever, you know, you got to put them to bed yourself at your second stop, and only you can do it. It's put up or shut up, and so far for one day, man, he put up, and I'm excited to see how he kind of develops over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I'll round out with an offensive lineman, and I'm going to flip back over to DB, and I'm going to go with PJ Wilkins on the offensive line. Just a huge, like, big body, but didn't look sloppy to me. Kind of looked like he had some really nice bend to his knees and to his frame. Like, didn't look like he was struggling with his size out there. And again, we saw Indy, we saw a little bit of like team quick tempo period kind of stuff, but you know, I just felt like he, at least from a bend and flexibility perspective, kind of stood out to me just because of how big he is. And then top 100 prospect Mason Dunn.
That's your dude.
That's my dude. I mean, if he is playing starter level snaps in October for Ole Miss, I'm going to go ahead and assume that's a good thing just because of his track, his development.
And you're going to talk your stuff, man. You're going to say, oh, that
one. Well, no, I got to credit. Hey, Charles and Cody at the rankings team, like, That would be their time to talk their stuff. But I'm really high on Mason as well. But when you rank a DB that high and they see the field as a true freshman, it's a really good sign long term. And look, with all the questions in the secondary, and we dropped a piece on the Ole Miss Spirit about transfer portal needs. And of course, the one that's not a secret in there is, you know, secondary. But if they can't find somebody that can really be that dude, then Mason Dunn might have to be that dude at corner. And they've got some options. They've got some good body types. They've got some vets, but wouldn't be a bad thing if he stepped up and got thrown to the wolves. And maybe you take a little bit of a learning curve early in the season, and then maybe he settles in and plays really well.
There are only two, in my opinion, sure things as far as starters in the secondary. Sage Ryan and Jalen Braxton were not recruited and signed out of the portal to come in here and sit. They're going to start in two of those five spots. Jalen Braxton right now is at safety. Sage Ryan is one of the cornerback spots. So you know what two positions are going to be, but three are wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open. Like Antonio Kite doesn't deserve anything necessarily. Like if Jacoby Hobson is a better Jack or whatever, pick your guy, Mason Dunn at cornerback. TJ Banks, it's incumbent upon you to keep Mason Dunn off the field.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like that's where I'm really eager to see for as far as the rest of the spring. TJ Banks, Chris Graves, Nick Cole, pick those veteran defensive backs. Like it would behoove Ole Miss and really would get you a little bit more bullish about potentially exceeding that 8.5 over under according to BetMGM win total.
Mm-hmm.
If guys like that are tenured, like TJ Banks and Chris Graves, become the players that Ole Miss always thought they could be.
Yep.
If they don't, however, no harm, no foul. It's a free shot year in a lot of ways. You're breaking in so much new, over 72% of your starting lineup. Mason Dunn, because he does look good. I mean, we're just talking eye test. He looks good. One guy offensively, I'm glad you brought up PJ Wilkins, because I didn't really see him at all on day one. But I did see Cam East, and that's a player that has started a combined 4 games in his first 3 years at Ole Miss. He went into the portal, and Ole Miss recruited him hard to bring him back, to retain him. They have real – like old days, it wouldn't be – no one would bat an eye if a first-year starter was an offensive lineman they've been developing for three-plus years. That's how it used to be, right? Now it's not like that. So – Cam, this is his year, and for Ole Miss, you know, retaining him, bringing him back, this, like, they did it because they didn't want to waste what they think could be finally the payoff for so much sweat equity in development for a player that now looks like he's ready.
Yep.
Will he be ready? I don't know. If he doesn't, again, no harm, no foul, like with TJ Banks, Nick Cole. So it is, they'll replace him with PJ Wilkins. Maybe Percy Lewis, who really looks like he weighs 400 pounds. Not meaning to disrespect my man. I'm not. It's just like, dang, bro. He's a huge human being. Huge. They have options to replace a Cam East, but it would, again, behoove, the word of the day, behoove Ole Miss in its hopes of exceeding 8.5 wins if a Cam East can be like the sixth swing tackle.
100%.
Or even if he could take over at a tackle spot and be really good. I mean, I'll never forget Emmanuel Creighton has busted up knees. The reason why in 2012 that Ole Miss with not great talent in Hugh Freeze's first year, one of the biggest reasons why they were able to win 7 games in that memorable Birmingham Bowl, which in other years would never be memorable, right? The reason you played Aaron Donald in Pittsburgh in the Birmingham Bowl. The reason why they were able to accomplish that was not just because Bo Wallace was good in year one from JUCO. They started the same 5 offensive linemen every single game. A guy like Emmanuel McCray, who had been banged up, his knees had been destroyed, hadn't really played much, a depth piece. Who does this sound like? He stepped up as a senior. Now, Cam isn't a senior, but as a senior, and started every single game at left tackle. He quite literally left it all out on the field because Emmanuel, football was done for him after that. His knees couldn't hold up anymore. He's in coaching now, hell of a coach. But he left it all out on the field, and because he started all 12 games at left tackle, Ole Miss, because it had no depth, was able to piece it together. Ole Miss is not in that desperate of a place where, hey, we need Cam to start all 12 games and be competent. But that's what you're looking around the roster for guys like that.
Yeah.
It is put up or shut up time for a lot of players, right? Cam is one of them. But, again, it shows you how much they believe in him that they went back into the portal and recruited him back because they think, well, now you're where we think you should be.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, you didn't get the instant gratification. I know you're frustrated, but, like, now is your time. And to see him Tuesday and then again today, Saturday, moving to next week, he's going to be one I follow all spring because he looks like an NFL prospect. He looks like it. Does he play like it? Hadn't seen nearly enough yet. And again, the track record for combined games in the first 3 years doesn't really lend itself to that. But look test? Yeah, Cam East looks amazing now. He looks like a starting left tackle in the SEC. But can you do it? You know. But I love that about this year, Billy. It's across the board like that. And it's not just TJ Banks at corner or Cam East. Hell, even Tyler Banks at linebacker, Nick Cole at safety. It's Austin Simmons, you know? Like, All of the players at all important positions, except for like Caden Lee, have something to prove. That's a dangerous team. I'm just saying. That's 100%. A dangerous team. And Lane Kiffin has led Ole Miss to 10 wins in 3 out of the last 4 years. Bet against that man at your own peril. That's all I'm going to say.
100%. I'm right there with you. And look, we'll be right there with the Rebels, cheering them on Friday, 3:05 p.m. Central Time in Milwaukee. Jake Thompson's there for us on the Ole Miss Spirit.
And be sure. Roofing studio. It's just like you're rubbing it in.
I know. I'm sorry. I want to shout out Jake. You know, I mean.
I love Jake. I'm happy for Jake.
We're happy for Jake. Hey, tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central, women's tips off against Ball State in the first round. So
I hope they beat the piss out of them.
A lot of basketball over this weekend. It's the best time of year with March Madness now underway. So join us on the Ole Miss Spirit. We appreciate Riverland Roofing for supporting the podcast, as well as our friends at Status Jet. We'll be
got to show them the house.
We'll Riverland be reacting all weekend.
662. That looks like a wonderful place to live. I don't know about the four windows, but a wonderful place. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. We're going to have complete coverage of football this weekend, basketball. We're going to be out at every spring football opportunity. We got to get some watch parties up. If Ole Miss goes to the Sweet 16.
Yes. Look out.
We're doing a watch party. Like I will be in Atlanta, right? Maybe we just shoot the thing from a bar. And then we'll all go to, I don't know, but we are doing a watch party and we're going to do the live shows. We're just getting started, man. It's an exciting time though, if you're an Ole Miss fan, and never a better time to be a part of the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3, because yesterday too, but opening day for spring football.
It was a blast.
What else could you have asked for? I'm serious. Yeah.
Keep letting us in that amount. Keep that time, Lane. Please.
Cause like, just being out there on the practice field and watching Winston Watkins, you know, torch people route running, dude. I was just like, this is where I meant to be. So Take me back out there, too. I meant to be in Milwaukee. Status Jet, lend me a private.
Appreciate you guys listening on this live edition of Talk of Champions. We'll catch you guys again soon with another live Talk of Champions. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. Catch you guys next time.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.